concern from public health jurisdictions that have begun to send the HL7 NEDS case notification messages. And while Michelle's coming up, I just want to, we're getting kind of packed by the door, and I'm sure it's hard to hear. There is some room further over to the side, so please, and there are a few seats. You know, we want to be able to accommodate people. So, Michelle.
So for some of you, this is going to sound fairly repetitive with hopefully some new things thrown in as well. But although I'm the one standing before you, I'm kind of representing and just the messenger for a large number of people, including the states and jurisdictions, both on the MBS side as well as the customs systems and those using others that have really helped us get to this point. We certainly wouldn't be here without you, as well as all the colleagues that you have heard before me. And the colleagues that are working on my team and the assistance from the MBS team for technical assistance and the APHL team for technical assistance. So I wanted to put that out there to begin with. Although I stand here, it's certainly not me in any way, shape, or form. This is our latest and greatest updated map in terms of where we stand with our onboarding process. And it really represents the highest level of achievement that we're looking for and that we're finding within the states that are there. So let me take just a moment to explain the color coding that's here and give you a better feel for what it is. As Leslie had mentioned, we really have three guides that are in production at the moment, Gen V2, hepatitis, and arboviral 1.3. So if a state is shown in green, that means they're in production with at least one of those messages, mapping guides at this time. That means they've also made it through at least one of the other stages that's before that. They may or may not have received technical assistance, or they may or may not have been a pilot, but we wanted to make sure that we were representing those areas and those states that are working on that. So the stage right before being in production is onboarding, and you can see we have a number of states that are in that dark blue stage. These are a combination of states that really worked with us as pilots, as well as brand new states who have come in and said, we're ready to go. Can you help us move us through this area? We have states that are listing in a lighter blue that should be receiving technical assistance, either from the MBS team as preparing to be able to move into that onboarding process, or from the APHL team that's working with the other customs systems and larger systems that are there. And a reminder that technical assistance can be anything from helping them throughout their entire process, from doing their gap analysis and their helping them design their messages and transport them and validate them to the end of production, or it could be just a component of it, such as the Rhapsody routes that have been created for a generation of the messages that can be shared broadly across many of the states, and having technical assistance to a state to help them use that route to be able to create their messages. And then last but certainly not least are our pilots. And we're actively working right now with the STD and congenital syphilis pilots, and we'll soon begin working with the Mumps Pertussis and Varicella pilots very soon. This is a very high-level map that's really showing the generation of where messages go within from your systems, which are represented on the left-hand side of the screen, where many states have either a test system, a staging system development, they call them different environments within your own particular system, and your production system, of where it is that your production level data is shown. On the far right-hand side are those same sorts of mirrored environments that occur within the CDC system. So within MVPS, we have an onboarding environment, and we have a production environment. And those environments actually mirror each other, but they allow us to sort of do test messages in an environment and looking at those separately, as well as looking at limited production messages when folks are sending them in, so that when we get to the stage of actually moving into production, we feel very comfortable that the quality of data that's going into our production system is of higher quality for the programs to use, and everyone is more comfortable at the CDC side as well as on the state side that that data is accurately reflecting what's being said. The errors in between kind of address where those messages are going from your state system into the CDC system. So as I mentioned earlier, The test messages usually come out of the test message environment and go to the onboarding side of the house for MVPs. And then the limited production messages go from your production environment into the onboarding environment. And we added this step in to make sure that things are going well when you transfer in between the test environment and the production environment. We realize some things can get messed up over time. Sometimes code doesn't get copied over exactly. Or sometimes your test environment may not be an exact mirror of your production environment. And you may be thinking it is, but when you actually get to the point of putting the messages in, and they come to us, we're like, this isn't quite working out. So it's another added way of making sure that the quality of the messages coming in are going that way. And then the last two steps are really designed to sort of help us at CDC populate our data systems and move you into that ongoing production and ongoing transmission. And those both come from the production environment into the MVPs production environment. We point this out because this is one of the major challenges that we've faced so far in the onboarding process. As Andrew mentioned earlier, we have different MVPs service action pairs for each of these environments. And that gets even more complicated when we add in Arboviral, which has its own set of MVPs service or FinMS service action pairs to add to that. So we are in the process now of developing a cheat sheet, so to speak, that will help you guide you through that process because it's very simple. In the past, test messages were sent to a staging environment, which was in our older legacy system for DMB. And so we're having some messages show up in different locations. So we're hoping to address that issue and wanted to kind of show you this as a high-level illustration of where that information could go as a cheat sheet and a reminder. I also want to say, if this looks really familiar to a lot of you, this information was actually presented on our May eShare call. And so I want to put in the plug now for our NMI Technical Assistance and Training Resource Center, which has a lot of this information as well as other information that's related to that effort so that you can kind of get a better feel for what that is. And it goes into a lot more detail about what this is and the whole validation process of going back and forth with this jurisdiction to kind of correct or identify issues that have been shown. One of the other challenges that we've identified is with message transport. Sometimes setting up the FinMS action pair can get rather confusing, so to speak, as I just said, we have multiple ones that are there. So one of the things that we're asking states to do to think about as they're preparing for onboarding is really carefully review the URL for the service, the web link we give you for the service action pairs so that you know which service action pair you're sending to. And we also know that you often have to coordinate with your central IT or have some other outside entity that is helping you with this process. And because we have, and the state may have, a number of different service action pairs in place, it's important to have a good idea of what that is and provide them with the accurate information that you know which direction is there that information is going to. We also know because you have to work with, sometimes some states have to work with central IT to set up these two new service action pairs that we're using for MVPs, that during your onboarding process, we will check with you and decide whether how soon to provide you with that production service action pair, because sometimes it's easier to set them both up at the same time than it is to do each one kind of sequentially. I'm gonna let Andrew do that.
So this is all in the context of FinMS, which is the message transport, and the service is really an identifier of where it should go once it gets to MVPs or what queue it should end up in for a system to pick up from. Similar with the action, which is.
One of the other issues, kind of moving on from that, that we have identified over time is that there have been some challenges within FinMS as a whole. We've been working very closely with the FinMS team at CGC to kind of put in some enhancements to help address and correct these issues. But at this time, especially when we're working on that cut over to production phase where folks are sending a full year-to-date file, we're really asking folks to batch their messages using the HL7 batching protocol. And we will have those examples readily available to provide to you to help you with an example as you move through that step and that effort. Now I'm going to kind of move on. That's kind of the higher level overview. Now I'm going to go into some of the specific things about the onboarding process. One that we've identified is issues with the date and time for submission. So if you're not using a 24-hour clock, that can create issues in terms of your keeping track of things in the order that they need to be in, as well as making sure that the first date you submit information to CDC is consistent among the cases you submit for that. If they seem to change or if they change over time with just that element, it can create a new case and you can end up with duplicates in the system. A reminder that you want to look at your event codes, make sure that you're classifying event codes to this current set, as well as looking at repeating blocks and making sure you have those unique combinations to move between them. There are certain issues, however, that don't preclude you from going into production. Because the generic version 2 serves as the basis for the rest of the message mapping guides, here are some of the things that we've identified over time in the test messages that we've seen that you may want to take a careful look at. Whether your countries are within the states, or a county within a state is missing, it could be something that's not matched up there. The date of birth will trigger a number of different issues if it's not entered correctly. And then the other two are things that have happened over time where the race or ethnicity may be off or the onset date is populated with the date submitted to CDC. Some things we know you can only provide us with the information that you have. So there are admission dates that are asked for. Some states may have policies where they don't want to provide hospitalized admission dates, and that's their choice to do that. Or you may simply not have it. And so we want to make sure that that these are things that we may identify, but they do not stop you from going into production. This is one that I'm going to place up here for a moment that is something that we want to talk with you and get your feedback on over time. Right now, we are using certain unique data elements to identify a unique case, but we know that we're having some difficulty in identifying and keeping that because it is a change from what we've used in the past. So I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here, but I'm going to leave it up for a second. And we really want your feedback on what it would be, what it would take to have a unique case or make it easier for you to provide us with that information so that we know that we're refining those unique cases distinctively. The other issue that we're talking about now is we're really trying to get an idea of how much burden it's taking for the states to transmit it to CDC as a whole. So if you at some point see one of us that are on our team here, and could you give us an idea of like how much time does it really take to submit the data that you're submitting to CDC so we can have a better idea of what that burn rate is so that we can better measure and evaluate what it is that we're doing and the changes that we're making within that process. This is my line. I won't go through all of them, and I'll admit this was done when we were in December, and since then we have a few others who have joined the line. So it doesn't include our colleagues from Arizona or North Carolina who are actively involved in doing this. So I have two full pages here that I want to shout out to. They were listed as co-authors. They really are. This represents their work, but it was too hard to put all of them on the top line as a whole, as well as our folks within the CDC programs who are collectively with us, as well as my onboarding and technical assistance team internally that's looking at all of this information. I want to put one quick note in, as Leslie Ann mentioned, the June eShare call will be on a recap of this meeting for folks who aren't able to attend. Our eShare calls have been attended very well. We're over 100 people, generally speaking, there, and we're trying to balance between having the higher level side as well as the kind of more technical side of things. So we're trying to arrange it so those high-level updates are at the beginning of the meeting, as well as then going into more details depending upon where it's going. The August 15th panel is one we're really excited about. This is where we're hoping to invite and extending the invitation to states who have been pilots so they can really tell you what they've learned over time across the things of what their barriers were, what their challenges were, and what it is you guys need to think of as states to prepare and really move on to that onboarding process. And one last reminder, in addition to the slides that are uploaded for us, we also have handouts that talk about the eSure calls, about the efforts within the NMI that are attached to our presentation things at CSTE, on the CSTE application and website. Oh, and they're also outside the hall. That's right. Please take those. Take those. Forget about what I said about them electronically. Take those. And then if you lose that one, do it electronically.
All right. Thank you, Michelle.